We have been studying the book of Acts now, believe it or not, for over a year. And we're in the last chapter today. And the title of the message, as you can see, is Mission Accomplished. Maybe you remember a news report from a few years ago, over 14 years ago, that was quite controversial. It was May the 1st, 2003. President George W. Bush stood on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, and he announced that a tyrant had fallen in Iraq. On behalf of the nation, the then commander-in-chief thanked the men and women in uniform for a job well done. Now, you might remember that the president got a lot of heat because on the deck of the ship behind him as he gave that speech was a sign that said, "Mission accomplished." And here we are, more than 14 years later, still seeing problems in that corner of the world. We still see men and women in uniform, even today, making the supreme sacrifice for our country. I guess what I want to say is this, that some missions are not easily accomplished, are they? Some missions are not easily accomplished. There are two things I like doing that I don't get to do that much anymore since I've been here in Randolph. I like mowing the lawn. Shouldn't tell Junior that. And I probably shouldn't tell any of this. But I like shoveling snow. Now, you might wonder, why do I like that? Well, because I can see that I've accomplished something. You know, when you look back after you mow a lawn, it feels good. That job is done. When you shovel a walk, it's done. I don't know if I should tell you this, but sometimes as a pastor, you wonder if you're ever really accomplishing anything. Is anything ever finished? Believe it or not, there's always more work. You can always make a sermon better, right? Well, you probably think, you know, get to work more. There's always more you can do. You can always do more reading, more praying. More. Sometimes we wonder, to be honest, is anything that we're saying making a difference in someone's life? I know when I mow the lawn that there's a difference. I know when the snow is off the sidewalks, there's a difference. I know that at least there are a few things in life that I've done that I can know that it is finished. At least until the grass grows again or until it snows again. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is really the center of the latter portions of the book of Acts, Paul is on a mission. He's on a mission that he wanted to accomplish. His goal, even as he was told in prophecy before he was called from persecuting the church, was to share the good news of salvation with kings and those in authority, and even to Caesar himself. And we saw last week, even in spite of a shipwreck, that Paul was on his way to Rome. Follow along with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 31. Acts chapter 28, I believe it's on page 909 if you're using one of the pulpit Bibles. Acts chapter 28. So last week, you remember, they were shipwrecked. That's where we pick up today. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home. Luke is speaking here, by the way. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to the sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put it in Syracuse, not the one in New York, and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I've asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came even in large numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." May God bless us as we listen to his word this morning. So as we can see here in the text, The next stop that Paul on Paul's trip to Italy is the island of Malta, where he was shipwrecked. As Paul was helping to gather firewood, a poisonous viper bit him. The islanders obviously adhered to the false philosophy that states that bad things happen to bad people. Have you heard that before? Bad things happen to bad people. I guess what, folks? Bad things happen to everybody. But they had this superstition, this philosophy, that bad things happen to bad people. So they thought that the goddess Justice did not want Paul to live. After all, he's shipwrecked. That didn't work. And now he's got this viper biting him. Paul shook the snake off his hand, and the people expected him to drop dead immediately. But that didn't happen. So now, instead of thinking that Paul was a murderer, now they think he's a god. How quick public opinion can change, right? So Paul enjoyed the hospitality of the chief official on the island of Malta, Publius. Publius's father was sick in bed. And what does Paul do? Well, what would you expect him to do as a man of God? He goes in and prays for the man's father. Do you first go to God in prayer when you've got a problem in your life? That's what we all need to do. So Paul goes into this home of the governor of Malta and prays for his father. He places his hands on him. And by the power of Jesus Christ, this man is healed. And what do? The rest of the ill, the rest of the sick, the rest of the infirm on this island are brought to the Apostle Paul, and they're healed as well. No wonder a few months later, as Paul is getting ready to leave the island, they give him all the supplies. Remember, they lost everything in that shipwreck. They find this Alexandrian ship, and they furnish it, and they head to Italy. They get to the coast of Italy. They meet some followers of Jesus along the road that led to Rome. And Paul must have earned the respect of the Roman officials, because instead of putting him in a prison, they rent, I'm sure his followers help rent a home for him. He's got a guard with him 24 hours a day, but he's living in a home. Now, as you know, those of you who've been with us, if you want to listen to previous messages, they're on our church website. Paul, everywhere he goes, preaches the gospel first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And so he calls the Jewish leaders of Rome to come and see him. He tells them about the false accusations that were made against him in Jerusalem. But it seems that they have no clue to the trials and tribulations he's gone through. My guess is that once the Jewish leaders had Paul away from the country, they could care less anymore. But Paul shares with them about his appeal to Caesar, that it wasn't an accusation against the Jewish teachings, but it was his desire to spread the gospel to Rome. Now again, the Jewish leaders hadn't heard any of this, but they want to hear about Paul's views of the hope of Israel, about Jesus the Messiah. So a few days later, after Paul arrives in Rome, a large crowd assembles, and Paul preaches to them. You think my sermons are long? Paul preaches to them all day long, from morning until evening, it says. Anybody want that kind of sermon here? I see. No amens now. All right. Go ahead, hurt my feelings. No, he preaches to them all day long. He reminds them that Jesus came to be the Messiah. He quotes from Isaiah's prophecy, which Jesus himself quoted from the same prophecy as well, about the Pharisees, the people who reject him, that although they have the truth, they can't see it, they can't hear it, they can't understand it. And Paul tells them, even though some believed, Paul tells them, I'm going to turn my attention to reaching the Gentiles here in the capital of the empire, the capital of Rome. And this is how the book of Acts ends. And I don't know if you noticed, it really doesn't have a great ending. It doesn't tell us what happened to Paul, although history and tradition tells us that he was beheaded in Rome after he shared the gospel with Caesar. But the book of Acts, it doesn't seem to really have an ending. There's no conclusion. Can we say mission accomplished? Well, I don't think there's really a conclusion. It's almost like former President George Bush standing on that ship. We want to say mission accomplished, but Acts 28 really doesn't say the mission was accomplished. Did you notice it kind of leaves us hanging? It doesn't have a conclusion. It would make a bad end to a movie. He stayed in Rome for 2 years. Okay, well, what happened next? What happened next? Where's the end of the movie? Are we missing a page? You know why I think the book of Acts ends this way? Because the mission hasn't been accomplished yet. Someone has said, not me originally, we are Acts 29. We are Acts 29. One time I was in a church and I said to people, I want you to read Acts 29 before you come next week. And then I had a little fun. You know, for those of you who've known me now after almost 7 years, sometimes I have a little fun with the congregation. So I said in this church, how many of you read Acts 29 this past week like I asked you to do? A few hands went up. I said, good, I'm preaching on lying. There is no Acts 29. We just finished the book of Acts with Acts 28. Yeah, aren't you glad I didn't do that here? Imagine if your hand went up. You see, we are Acts 29. Because the mission won't be accomplished until Jesus comes. The mission won't be accomplished. There are more people out there who need to come to the Savior. There are more people who need to come to Christ. So I think the book does not end because the mission hasn't ended. Because there are more people to reach for the kingdom of God. We're never done until Jesus comes. That's kind of like being a pastor. You're never done. You're never done. So what I want you to remember this morning is this. This is what I want to remember. And if you use YouVersion, you can look for the live events and you can follow me on the YouVersion app as well. But here's what I want you to remember. There's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. There's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. This book, the book of Acts, doesn't tell us about the end of Paul's life. Doesn't tell us about the end of his ministry. Wouldn't it be great if we knew what he said to Caesar? Wouldn't it be great if we knew what Caesar said to him? Wouldn't it be great if we knew how many Roman soldiers? Can you imagine being the Roman soldier who was on duty for 12 hours and then the next shift came in? How many Roman soldiers do you think came to know Christ who stayed with Paul and his? We'd love to know all that. But we don't know all that. The church historian Eusebius writes that Paul was beheaded in Rome on the order of Nero sometime between 64 and 67 AD. That's according to Eusebius. You'd think the Bible would tell us what happened. I think the Holy Spirit chose not to do that because we want to remember that the mission continues with you and me. The mission didn't stop when Paul lost his head. The mission continues through people like you and me, even in 2017. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure when Paul stood before his Lord, he heard words similar to mission accomplished. Although the mission isn't completely done, I'm sure Paul heard, well done, good and faithful servant. At the end of his life, Paul would write to young Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have fulfilled the high calling that God gave me. He finished the chapter in his mission. But the book isn't done yet. You see, my friends, there's nothing more exciting for the follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and our mission. You see, what I notice in this text, first of all, there's nothing that can thwart God's plans. Do you believe there's an enemy who's trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? I do. Do you believe there's an enemy who wants to keep people living in blindness, in meaninglessness, in despair? I do. There's nothing, my friends, there's nothing too difficult for God. There's nothing that can thwart God's plans. Not storms on sea, not poisonous vipers, snakes, not even a wicked Roman emperor. There's nothing that can thwart God's plans to share the good news of salvation, forgiveness, and life with the people on this planet. Absolutely nothing can thwart God's plans. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is when Jesus said to his disciples, way before the church even came into existence, in Matthew 16, 18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. If the gates of hell can't overcome Christ's building program to have his church, his kingdom expand, vipers can't, storms can't, shipwrecks can't. Even the hostility of people in this world who persecute Christians in other places of the world. You see, we're on an exciting mission. We're on an exciting mission because we don't have to worry whether or not we'll be triumphant. You know, people who are out, soldiers, they don't know for sure if they're going to win. People who ran for election last week, some of them won, some of them lost. Christians don't have to worry about whether we're going to lose because the battle is already won. We are in triumphant. We are triumphant. We don't need Congress to pass any budgets for us to be triumphant. We don't need any timetables. It doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office because we know the one who sits on the eternal throne of God. And I don't have much confidence in the Oval Office. But I do have confidence in the one who sits on the throne of God. I have complete 100% confidence. There's nothing that can thwart God's plans. So like Paul, my brothers and sisters, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to wonder if we're going to be victorious in our mission. There might be some battles we lose on the way, but the ultimate triumph is sure and secure in Jesus Christ. We continue the mission of Acts. We are Acts 29. We can act with boldness and with confidence because, my friends, there's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. Secondly, I want you to know this morning, that there's nothing like being where God wants you to be. Do you know that? There's nothing like being where God wants you to be. Last week, if you weren't here, you might want to listen to that message on the church webpage. Last week, we compared Jonah and Paul, right? Both had a mission from God. But Jonah didn't want to be where God wanted him to be, and a fish spitting up took care of that. How different than Paul, who, even in chains, wanted to be where God wanted him to be. As we said last week, God has a place for us to be. And the place we start the mission is right where we are. You don't have to get a passport. You don't have to raise funds. You don't have to get shots. You don't have to worry about what you might eat over there. The place where our mission starts is right where we are. Your mission field is in Randolph or Milton or Brockton or Holbrook or Whitman or the Klingon homeworld, for all I know. The mission is where we are. You see, Paul couldn't wait to get to Rome. He wanted to share the gospel before Nero himself. But while he was there, everywhere he went, whether it was on the island of Malta or on the coast of Italy, on the road to Rome, he shared the good news wherever he went. You see, Jesus knew where his priorities were, didn't he? Jesus knew that he was always where God wanted him to be. One day he told his disciples, after he was speaking to this woman at the well, and they brought back food, and they were concerned, Jesus, and of course they were Jewish, so they said it like this, Jesus, you got to stop, you got to eat. We brought you some bagels, some lox, some knishes, some brisket. You got to stop. You got to eat. Jesus, please stop. You're going to wear out. Listen, if your mother were here, she'd tell you, you got to stop. You got to eat. What did Jesus say to them in John 4:34? He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We're about to come to the end of this year. 2017 is just a few calendar pages away. Do you think First Baptist Randolph has finished the work God has given us to do? I don't think so. I don't think we've barely started. I don't think we've barely started. Met with the leadership team yesterday morning, and we want to give emphasis as we move into 2018 that we want to be a praying church, a disciple-making church. We're going to ask as we approach our 200th anniversary that the theme for next year, Pastor Before came up with, well, Jesus came up with it, but Pastor Before suggested it to me, and I brought it to the leadership team yesterday. Our theme is going to be seek first the kingdom of God. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. We have a very multi-ethnic church. If you're here for the first time, you can see that. I love it because heaven is not going to be monochromatic. In the Lord's Prayer, I forget what version we use, we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is going to be people from every tribe, every nation, every language group. And we're starting to do that here. But there's a few empty seats still. Our work isn't finished. We need to share the good news of Jesus because right where we are is where God wants us to be. What's your food? What is your diet? What is your food as we're on the threshold of a new year? You need to ask yourself this honestly, especially as you'll soon be getting, those of you who are members, your membership renewal. You need to ask yourself, is my food, like Jesus, to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work? Or is your food, is my food, pleasing ourselves? Oh, I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to give the bare minimum. I'm going to pray the bare minimum. Well, you don't need to send back the membership covenant then. It's okay. Because being a member of the body of Christ is that our food is to do the will of him who sent me. To do the will of him who sent me. Do you want to finish the work that God has given us to do? I do. I want to, as Paul said, I want to fight the good fight. I want to run the race that was set before me. When I retire or go to be with Jesus in a few years, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that what you want to hear? Is that what we need to pray about as we end this year, as we move into the next year? That we get beyond just sitting in a pew for an hour and a half a week and start realizing that our food is to do what God has called us to do? You see, my friends, there's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. And may I say this finally as I conclude? There's nothing more important. Are you with me? There's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. There's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. From the time I was 10 years old, and shared the gospel for the first time that I can remember with someone, and they asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. That has been my passion for the past 52 years since then. I know I look younger than you expect, though. That is my passion, my friends. That is what gets me going in the morning and keeps me going in the day. That's why I do what I do, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why I love to get on the radio. Realize that people listening that are hearing Jesus are on the Facebook pointing people to Jesus. There's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. You see, we were talking about this with our leaders. You know what we spent a lot of our time talking about? Especially this week? Broken furnaces. Storm damage to the roof. Problems in the vicarage next door. And you know, we got to care for that. Praise God for people who are working on that. But there's something more important than fixing the furnace. Amen. There's something more important than fixing the roof. There's something more important than having big screen TVs or computers that sometimes work or wearing fancy robes. There's something more important than the external. This building could be destroyed this week, but the Church of Jesus Christ will continue. Because the church is defined by the mission of the people. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Sometimes I think, I don't want to say this, is this being recorded? Sometimes I think we might be better off without these edifices. How about spending more time on the mission? Yes, we got to take care of this. This is a tool that God has given us for almost 200 years. It's a tool, but it's not the end result. You see, there's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. If you found out that you only had 2 years to live, what would you do? Paul said, you know what I want to do? You know what? I want to go to Acapulco. I'm going to, you know, run up the credit cards. You know, I'm going to go first class everywhere. I'm going to, you know, get an iPhone 10. Oh, my wife is watching. I'm not getting an iPhone 10. What does Paul do for the last 2 years? Oh, unless you want to give me one, Jared. What does Paul do for the last 2 years of his life? From morning until evening, with a Roman guard in his house, he pointed people to Jesus. He knew that I'm sure he knew that his life was going to end in Rome. Caesar did not convert to Christianity until the Emperor Constantine, some 300 years later, finally converted. But Nero didn't. Nero burned Rome, executed Christians, not just Paul. Paul spent the end of his life, we read in verse 23 of Acts 28, he witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses and from the prophets, that's the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Paul didn't spend the last 2 years of his life complaining about why God let bad things happen to him. Why was I shipwrecked? Why did a snake bite me? Why am I in chains in Rome? Why is my 401k losing money? Why are my children not where I want them to be? Why do I have a sore knee? Oh, it's raining, I can't come to church today. Oh, it's sunny, I can't come to church today. Tithe? Don't even bring that up. We heard enough about that last year, Pastor. Don't even bring it up. No. We Jewish people know how to whine, right? That's not what Paul did. And he was Jewish. Paul spent 2 years pointing people to Jesus. He wasn't accumulating stuff. He didn't come because there was a football game on or the American Music Awards tonight. He just realized that there's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. And this is how the book ends. This is how it supposedly ends, air quotes, for those of you only listening to audio. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. The end. Really, Luke? That's the best you could do, Luke? The book began well, Luke. You did a better job in the beginning. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That's a good beginning, Luke. You couldn't do a better job with the conclusion. They teach you in preaching class in seminary. Write a good introduction and a good conclusion. Luke obviously did not go to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. The words Jesus left us with tell us that the most important task or mission we have before us is to proclaim Jesus, to be his witnesses, to point people to him. Jesus told his disciples that his food was doing the Father's will, and he told us that what God's will involves. God is not willing for any to perish. He said the harvest fields are ripe for harvest. pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. Can you agree with me, church, that there's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus? Well, then I expect to see more people on that Operation Philip list during the offering time, where we ask people to be like a Philip who brought his friend to Jesus. There's nothing more important than pointing people to Jesus. There's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. I think the book of Acts ends the way it ends on purpose. Who am I to argue with the Holy Spirit who inspires all scripture? The book of Acts ends the way it ends with a dot, dot, dot. I think that's called an ellipsis. The book of Acts ends with an ellipsis rather than a period or an exclamation point. Because when Paul died, yes, the gospel had been preached in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. But the ends of the earth? Not completely yet. Guess what? There was no Randolph, Massachusetts in 65 AD. That's why we're Acts 29. There was no Belarus in 65 AD. There was no Colombia in 65 AD. Well, there might have been people there, but we didn't know about it. Nigeria. The gospel came to Nigeria decades later, centuries later, to Haiti. You see, the reason the book of Acts ends with a dot, 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 an ellipsis rather than a period or exclamation point is because the mission continues. The mission continues. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what our church might be like a year from now if we really got serious that there's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and the mission he's given to us? Would you pray with me that God would give you the opportunity before December 31st, 2017, and for every month in 2018, that God would give each and every one of us the opportunity to point someone to Jesus? You all, well, not about all of you, but many of you gave me an amen that there's nothing more important. Then you need to be part of the team. See, sometimes I think church people think that you're the spectators in the audience and few of us here are the players. Players. That's a New York way to say it. Players. No, no. I'm the coach. I've got some assistant coaches. You're the players. We're the players. There's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. Can you imagine that filling this baptism every month starting, maybe even now? Is there someone who's given their life to Jesus Christ who would say, I want to testify to that in the waters of baptism that I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried. And we need to see that filled. We need to make that a goal again. We've got to fix the furnace. We've got to fix the roof. Got to do some things next door to the building there. But you know what? We've got to do more important than any of that. We've got to point people to Jesus. We've got to fulfill the mission that God gave us to do. Could you and I be excited followers of Jesus? Right where we are. Eager to proclaim Jesus to everyone with whom we come in contact. My friends, there's nothing more exciting for a follower of Jesus than to fulfill his mission and ours. Do you agree? Do some of you agree? Do any of you agree? Then you're on the team. You're on the team. And we're going to work on that. We're going to make 2018 the year of the mission. We're going to seek first God's kingdom. And then the other stuff will be added.